Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. My next guest is Jeremy Conrad. He's a senior wildlife biologist at J.N. Ding Darling Wildlife Refuge on Sanibel. Starting next month, part of the refuge, called the Bailey Tract, will close to visitors for a few months while work is done to restore some of its freshwater marsh habitat. Biologists say the effort is necessary to support the rare and state-endangered Sanibel Island rice rat, as well as other critters that live there. Conrad joins us from his office on Sanibel. Jeremy, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So for people who aren't familiar with the Ding Darling Refuge, but maybe that are familiar with Ding Darling, but maybe not the Bailey Tract, can you explain kind of where that is? Because it's not right next to the Ding Darling, is it?
No, it's part of it is part of the Ding Darling National Wildlife Refuge, but it's not located kind of on our main complex where our visitor center is and where the wildlife drive, which is the most accessible area for the refuge that people come to do their birding at. The Bailey Tract is a 100-acre unit that is just off of Tarpon Bay Road and Periwinkle there, and it's a bit of a different habitat. It's an interior, what we call a cord grass marsh area. That is open to the public. There's a number of trails there and some good birding opportunities there as well. Also a good place to see alligators. So it's a freshwater marsh area that we have adjacent to Periwinkle.
So, okay, so you take Periwinkle and it comes to a T there. Is it on the left-hand side?
Yeah, so you come to the T at Periwinkle and Tarpon Bay Road and you would make a left heading like you're heading to the Gulf. And then it's probably about a quarter mile on the right-hand side. You'll see a big sign for it and a parking lot there that says the Bailey Tract Unit. And you can pull in there and park your car and go for a walk.
Oh, okay, I know where you're talking about. I've driven by there. So why is this restoration effort necessary right there?
Well, to say that it's only necessary there would be a little inaccurate. I think the interior cord grass area here on Sanibel, the freshwater marsh area, could all benefit from some restoration. But this is one area in particular that we have a history of this rice rat that we'll talk about here in a moment. And it also has a history of a lot of anthropogenic impacts through courses of development and some alterations to the habitat there that have degraded that habitat for these rice rats. So this was a perfect place to begin some restoration efforts.
So you're trying to get water to flow again more naturally? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, trying to get water to occur there more naturally and extend what we refer to as a hydro period in these marshes. So when you think about Florida, we've got a very distinct rainy season and a dry season. And when that rainy season begins, typically these marshes will start to fill up with water. They're not wetland marshes that are hydric year round. During the dry season, in fact, the water on the soil surface will actually draw down and fill up the water table as it recedes below the soil. But during the rainy season, the marshes will fill up with rain, and there'll be, you know, a few feet of water standing over the soil surface in those marshes. And that's an important part of the ecology of this system. That's what helps to maintain the marsh in a marsh habitat. And by marsh, I'm referring to kind of a vast grassy area that's a wetland area there that's dominated by grass in terms of its vegetation structure. However, when there is development, as we had here on Sanibel, and some mosquito control applications as well, there are opportunities there for that hydrology, that natural hydrology, to be altered in such a way that it begins to degrade the wetland habitat and allow for that vegetation in the marsh to transition into a more forested wetland habitat, and that can be problematic for some of our marsh specific species like the Sanibel rice rat.
So is it getting too dry?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So the hydro period has been shortened due to some of the construction and some of the ditching that's happened in and around on the Bailey Tract itself, but in some of the other interior core grass areas on Sanibel. And as a result of that, the marshes stay drier for longer, and that's what allows those woody and hardwood trees to encroach and outcompete the grass species.
Yeah, so they get enough roots and they're able to take off instead of being drowned out like they normally would be.
Exactly.
So tell me about this Sanibel Island rice rat, because nobody on our news team, including several longtime Southwest Florida residents, were familiar with this guy.
So the Sanibel Island rice rat is a marsh rice rat, which can be found throughout Florida and as far north as New Jersey along the eastern seaboard. Marsh rats do exist in a number of marshes around here. The Sanibel Island rice rat, what makes that unique, though, is that it is geographically isolated. So In other words, it's only found on Sanibel. And if you think about these processes of evolution and how genetics can drift over time, similar to what we find here in the Florida panther, as that particular population has been cut off from what remains of the pumas, particularly through Texas and into the western United States, there's a divergence in the genetics of these species as they become isolated and no longer exchanging genetics with a much larger population. And so as such, the process of evolution would result in this species becoming maybe a distinct species of its own. So what we're looking at now is with the help of the University of Florida and a graduate student there, Wes Boone, is determining whether or not this particular species of rice rat is truly only found on the island of Sanibel and therefore could be considered a distinct subspecies of the mainland marsh rice rat.
So is this, whenever people say rat, they kind of think about New York subway rats. How different is this from, he's mainly stays out in the marsh. He's not invading anybody's trash can, is he?
No, not at all. And I'm glad you brought that point up. Because the term rat has a pretty negative connotation when you think about it. And of course, it brings images of a big, large black rat with little red beady eyes and nefarious intents to harm people or get into your house. These rats are not like that at all. It's kind of a misnomer to call it that when you think about the perception of it. But they're small. They're brown and kind of white belly. I think they're actually kind of cute.
I know. I dare say they're cute. I looked up pictures and they're adorable.
They are. And they're very reclusive. So chances of you actually seeing one at the Bailey Track Unit are slim to none. In fact, I've seen a handful in my time here, and it's only through an intensive trapping effort that we're actually able to capture one and to study it a little bit. So they're rare. They're very secretive. They don't like to be in and around people or structures. They stay almost exclusively in the marsh habitat.
And they depend on that marsh habitat. And if that is not having its marshiness or its the wet season is not serving it well, then that's threatening that little rat.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the marsh rat is almost exclusively found in the marsh itself. These rice rats are very particular to aquatic environments, and so, yeah, the hydrology of that site is really important for its habitat, and the majority of its life cycle is spent within that marsh, from nesting to raising young and feeding and foraging. All of that life cycle is included in that marsh habitat. So as that marsh habitat degrades or begins to transition into something else, that becomes a loss of habitat for that. For the rice rat.
So then what is the plan then? What are you going to be doing to restore this marshland?
So the main impact that we have on the Bailey Track Unit itself is that in the late 60s, early 70s, after the Sanibel Causeway was opened and traffic was able to get here freely, there was a bit of a construction boom and development boom on Sanibel. And as a result of that, Lee County approached the refuge, and they were looking to find some local sources of fill because they needed to develop roads, particularly Sandcap Road being one of the ones they use a lot of the fill for. And at that time, the refuge management team was looking to try to improve habitat there for waterfowl. So they thought, hey, this could be a good exchange, and it was kind of logical. You can come and excavate some fill, and we'll have some freshwater ponds that will support, a number of different duck species throughout the migratory year. Unfortunately, that didn't really work out. We didn't get the duck numbers here that we had hoped to. And as a result of that, a few decades later, as we studied more about the wetland system, we're finding out that those ponds really serve to drain the marshes, the water out of that marsh, because the ponds are dug at a lower elevation than the marshes were. And so we have a lot of water moving subsurfacely from the marsh into the ponds, thereby shortening that hydro period or the water on the surface of the marsh and allowing that woody encroachment to take place.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So you're going to be filling in some of those ponds?
Correct. That's exactly what we're going to be. One of the ponds there that's referred to as the Ani Pond, it's about an acre and a half to 2 acres. We're going to actually take some of the fill that was used to build the berms and the levees for the tractors to move around on when they did the excavation and put it back into the pond.
All right. Well, I want to thank you for your time talking with us today. Jeremy Conrad, Senior Wildlife Biologist at J.N. Ding Darnley Wildlife Refuge on Sanibel. Jeremy, thank you so much for your time and for introducing us to the Sanibel Island rice rat.
You're quite welcome. It's my pleasure.
When we come back, we'll meet Rainey Aronson-Roth. She's the executive producer of Frontline on PBS. She was in town recently, so we sat down with her to get her thoughts on the current state of journalism in the increasingly digital world and her insights into what all goes into making the long-running, award-winning documentary film show on PBS. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Stay tuned.